Yo, what's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I'm ready to chop up some good game if you're ready to listen. Today we're going to talk about the 10 Black Commandments. So you're going to want to get your pen and paper because we're going to chop that game up real heavy. But what we're going to do, family, right now, let's take a real quick commercial break. And we'll be right back, right here, on Tariq Radio. Don't you move a muscle.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
What's up, family? Are you down for Black Empowerment? Because Black Empowerment is more than just a slogan. It's truly becoming a lifestyle. On Code Clothing is the brand that's unapologetically Black and fly. Make no mistake, this gear is exclusive and not for everyone. You got to be grassroots aligned and coded up to truly appreciate this lifestyle brand. Check them out now at OnCodeClothing.com. Sign up now and save 10% on everything in stock and follow them on social media at OnCodeClothing. Would you like to make six figures or more providing court-mandated classes like anger management, DUI, or shoplifting prevention? If so, go to courtmandatedtraining.com and sign up for the free webinar that will help you get started, even if you have no experience. So if you want to get that bag, if you want to get some money and do it the right way, go to courtmandatedtraining.com to learn more. Again, that's courtmandatedtraining.com. Check out the brand new book called Going Global. That's the life-changing experiences of 10 courageous Black men. That's a book that follows 10 American Black men and captures their reasons, experiences, and knowledge from living abroad in Abu Dhabi and Dubai. Going Global is the passionate and personal experience of each author's journey that gives insight to the awakening that occurs when Black Americans decide to take the leap and break free from American society's constraints. So check out the book right now, The Life-Changing Experiences of 10 Courageous Black Men, on Amazon and other bookstores. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook at going.global.book. From director and writer Yaw Agayapong and producer Devin Richardson, they bring you The Birth of Deceit. This is a film about a young Black woman that goes on the search for answers about her parents' death. And in the midst of all this, she befriends a strange detective that reveals the horrid things that happened to her parents. So you can check the film out now and get tickets for the screenings at agayapongfilms.com. That's agayapongfilms.com. Are you looking for a 100% natural beard product that cleans the skin under your beard and it stimulates growth? Then check out Beard Tree Oil and Herbs LLC. They promote healthy beards over everything. They offer a full line of products including beard and face wash, balm oil, mist, and detox. So treat yourself to the Beard Tree 3 package, which includes the wash, balm, oil for just $25. For best results, check out the Beard Tree 5 that includes all five products for just $50. So check this out all at BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com. That's BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com, or follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Beard Tree Oils and Herbs. Yo, cupcake season is right around the corner, family, and you need to get your fragrance game all up in order. So you need to check out ashkicking.com. That's a black-owned business that sells all-natural health and beauty products, and it also has fragrance products. You can get beauty products such as body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more. So again, you need to check out ashkicking, that's K-I-C-K-I-N, .com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail? Or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
Your mom's a hoe. Yo, what's up, man? We are back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Lovely, lovely day. We're here early today, ready to chop it up. Glad to have the family tuning in, listening. I hope everybody has gone to HiddenColorsFilm.com to watch Hidden Colors 1 through 4. So you can prep your mind and get your mind ready for Hidden Colors 5, because Hidden Colors 5 is coming this summer. We're looking at August, this coming August, and that'll be fly to get some of that Ogun energy for August to have the movie released. But Hidden Colors 5 is coming along very nicely, and we're looking at an August release date, hopefully earlier, but most likely August. So go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get more details on that. And also go to TariqElite.com to get all your shirts and all your fresh gear. The North Sentinel Island shirts, the Ogun shirts, the Hotep shirts, the Hold Your Own Nuts shirts, all that stuff at TariqElite.com. Shout out to all my mods in the chat room. Shout out everybody in the chat room. Say what's up to POV Hilarious D. He's modding it up right now in the chat room. Pretty classy lady in the chat room if you're watching live on YouTube. So family, a lot of stuff we got to get into today. A lot of stuff we're going to get into. I'm going to get into the 10 Black Commandments, the things that all black people, especially foundational black Americans, all things that we have to understand. A few things going on in the news today. Facebook banned certain far-right commentators because of dangerous hate speech. They banned suspected white supremacist Alex Jones, suspected white supremacist Milo, suspected white supremacist Laura Loomer, and they banned Farrakhan. They banned Minister Farrakhan off Facebook. Now, I put up a tweet last year, and I retweeted it today because I knew this was coming. I talked about Alex Jones being banned. They banned him from Twitter and some other platforms last year. And I knew that this was going to be the beginning of them justifying targeting black social commentators. I knew this was going to come. I knew this is what they were doing. This is why I wasn't really co-signing them banning Alex Jones. See, they'll ban or do a couple of white sacrifices. They'll do a couple of white sacrifices, but then they'll turn around and use that as justification to start coming at us. So I knew this was going to happen. a while ago, and we got to be prepared. This is why I really wanted to get more Russ popping. It's very expensive to do your own social media platform. You know, we tried to do it with a few thousand dollars. I did the best I could. We couldn't sustain it the way I wanted it to be because it just costs too much money. This is why people raise millions and millions of dollars to launch a Facebook and a Twitter and things of that nature. I still want to chop up with some brothers who are familiar with creating social media sites and come up with ways that are more cost effective so we can have alternative means to communicate on social media. I really want some brothers to holler at me. I need some of my Negro nerds. I need y'all to holler at me, man. I need y'all to get off the gaming sites, get off the porn sites, and holler at me and use some of your expertise to show me how we can get this thing popping in a way that's cost effective and in a way that we can be competitive to a certain degree. So I need y'all to really holler because I still want to get more Russ popping. I didn't get it popping the way I wanted to, and this is why, because I know that they're going to start banning a lot of people. The white supremacists, they got another website called Gab. You know, Gab is just full of white supremacists. That's basically all Gab is. Gab is basically just a white supremacist website. That's all it is. So I don't even know the justification they use to ban Farrakhan, but they don't need no justification. It's just I'm white and I say so. To even compare him to the Laura Loomers and the Alex Jones and all that. And also, understand, this is a way to kind of put him in the spotlight because of the mosque shooting. This is the whole blame a Negro narrative that they like creating. Now that the mosque was shot up a couple of days ago, another mosque was shot up. They love throwing up Minister Farrakhan's name whenever a mosque is shot up. So this is something that they can do to get the focus off the white supremacists. So they're focusing on Farrakhan. They're focusing on other black people. They always do that. So we got to understand the game that's being played, family. This is warfare. Warfare encompasses not just violence, but propaganda, the dominant society's complicity to it. We got to understand warfare from every single angle. So this is their, what did I say? Did I say synagogue? I thought I said synagogue. Or mosque. Okay, I said mosque. I meant synagogue. My bad. There's so many mosques and synagogues being burned and shot up. I meant synagogue. That's what I meant. Okay. And all these mosques and synagogues are being shot up by white supremacists. Let's just be clear. Most of these places are being shot up by white supremacists, and there's no national outcry. Notice there's no national outcry to do anything to target or punish white supremacists. They are focusing on everything else except the white supremacists. They're sitting up here talking about gun control. Every time the white supremacists shoot up something, they go on this whole tirade about gun control. And that's deliberate. They start talking about schizophrenia. They start talking about mental illness. They do everything except talk about white supremacist violence, which is the problem. And black people, we are not going to wait on them to create the dialogue for that. This is why it's important for us to be on code. It's important for us to be on code and us to be on top of our game. And it's important for us to come up with solutions to combat what's going on with these white supremacists, because it's getting worse. The violence is getting worse. The propaganda is getting worse. And we can't rationalize with these white supremacists. They're too far gone right now. The white supremacists are way too far gone. They're at the point of no return right now. So they're going all out. They can't come back from it. We can't redeem them. I don't know. Black people think we got this thing that we're just going to wait them out. And there's no waiting them out. We're in full genocide mode right now. When there are cases after cases after cases that these white supremacists committing some of the most vile and heinous crimes, and judges are just letting these white supremacists walk. I mean, they're just giving them slaps on the wrist, not even the slaps on the wrist. They're just letting them walk. I've seen just dozens of rape cases, vile child molestation rape cases where the people don't get no jail time. I mean, it is vile. We see these white supremacists beating up sisters. We see them committing all of these crazy acts, getting charged with misdemeanors. Like the white supremacist down there in Texas, that white man who beat up the sister down in Texas on video, he got charged with a misdemeanor, and people had to march and go down to the jail and the city hall and all this to get him charged with a felony. So they're doing everything they can to let these white supremacists go. And on the flip side of that, the rapper Offset, did y'all hear about what happened to him? He was down, I think he was in Atlanta somewhere. He was at a Target store. Some dude, looked like a white Hispanic or whatever, or a white Asian. I don't know what this guy was, but he wasn't black. Some guy just started randomly filming him. And, you know, a lot of public figures, you don't want to be somebody photobombing you. You out doing your thing. You might be with your family. You don't want nobody throwing a damn camera phone up in your face. So Offset went and knocked the phone out the dude's hand. The dude was filming him, and Offset got he had something in his hand, like some underwear or something. I don't know what it was in his hand, but he knocked the phone out of the guy's hand. Do you know they charge Offset with felony assault? They charged Offset with a felony for knocking the phone out of this dude's hand. Do y'all understand me? Now, when these white supremacists out here murdering, killing, raping, if they get charged, they'll get charged with a misdemeanor for a vile crime. They charge Offset with a felony for knocking the phone out of a guy's hand. And you know why they charged him with a felony? The phone broke. And law enforcement said, well, since the phone, it was an iPhone, and since the phone was worth $800, that's considered grand larceny theft, so that's a felony. I mean, they do all types of tricks and manipulations in order to throw the book at us, and then they act like it's just so impossible to prosecute somebody white. They thumb through the law books. They don't know what to do. Black folks, stop going for that. Black people, stop going for that. This is a two-tiered system that should not exist. Yeah, this is way beyond Jim Crow at this point. This is why we cannot rely on this system. This is a two-tiered system that simply should not exist. An iPhone is more than the life of a black person. You get charged with more felonies for breaking a white person or a non-black person's iPhone than it is to break a black woman's jaw if you're a white person. Family, we're in a different time right now. This is why we gotta understand the commandments, and we gotta wake up. And also, when it comes to understanding genocide, one thing that they do, they erase you culturally. When they're blatantly trying to erase you culturally, that's a problem. Did y'all see the Billboard Awards? And I didn't see it, but I saw the performance where Taylor Swift came out basically doing an imitation of Beyonce's Coachella performance. I mean, she came out there with the band and the whole shebang. I mean, she just vultured all of it. And it's getting blatant at this point. And I blame us for not calling this stuff out earlier when we saw J-Lo vulturing the Motown culture. Black folks should not have co-signed that. Yeah, Taylor Swift did a mayonnaise version of Beyonce's performance. And family, when people start blatantly doing stuff like that, they're going out of their way to disregard you as a people. And sisters, let me talk to the sisters. When they start doing that, the white supremacist women, they've always drained your breast milk, so to speak. The white supremacist women, they've always vultured off sisters. Not just suck your blood, but just drained your breast milk. They thrive off using and suckling you and then disregarding you after they've drained you. And this is one thing. I want sisters to stop letting these white supremacist females drain you. There's enough of that. And they're going to start doing that a lot right now with the elections because they're trying to get sisters. They're desperate to get us to vote for them. So they're going to try the sister girl thing. Don't fall for that. And I'm glad a lot of sisters are not falling for it. Notice whenever the white supremacist women, these white supremacist women's groups, because that's all they are, white supremacist women's groups, anytime they do a rally or a march or any kind of movement, it's imperative that they have to have black women around. Not because they care about you. They don't, sisters, I want y'all to understand this and stop being used by them. They don't have you around because they care about you or your interest or what happens to black women. They could give less than a damn. They have to have you as a mascot because in white female society, there are no white historic female heroes like that. When you think about it, who are the white female heroes in America? Name some white women that have done some significant heroic things in American culture. Put your thinking caps on. Think about it. Name some white women that have done some historic things in white American culture. Just name them. Name them. When you think about it, Amelia Earhart, what did she do? Fly a plane? So when they start naming white women, they'll name some people like Margaret Sanger, who was a hardcore white supremacist who wanted to kill black women. Margaret Sanger wanted to sterilize black women. Notice the only ones they can name are women who have a background of hardcore white supremacy. Susan B. Anthony and all those people. Who are they going to name? Even Susan B. Anthony and all those first wave white feminists, understand with them, they were riding the wave of black women back then. That's why they would ride Sojourner Truth's bra straps. You understand? Somebody said Madonna. Give me a break. That's why they all bite from Beyonce. They always got to study Beyonce. Because there is no white version of Beyonce. Let's go back to that. Name a white version of Beyonce. You dig? Name a white version of Beyonce ever. Name her. Who, Cher? No. Barbra Streisand? Try again. Madonna? Give me a damn break. Britney Spears? Kill yourself, nigga. Fergie? Jump in a damn lake. There's no white female version of damn J-Lo. Give me two breaks and some Goya powder. You out of your damn mind. There is no white female version of that. Again, historically, they've had to ride your bra straps. They had to suckle at the teat of black women because there is no white version of Harriet Tubman. There is no white female version of, hell, Ida B. Wells. you don't have that. The white supremacist woman, they've been floating by with unearned privileges and benefits since the induction of this country. Remember, they get 50% of what the white supremacist male gets. So there is no, there has not been no comparative struggle that the white supremacist woman could can stand on her own. She can't hold up a struggle that she's been through on her own that's comparative to that of black society. So they always have to latch on to a black female to have this pretend sister girl thing. You understand? They always have to latch on to us. And y'all got to stop letting them latch on to you. We got to let all of them hold their own nuts. We got to understand we're going to have to let the system eat itself alive and fall on its own. See, too many of us help uphold the system. And upholding a system of non-justice, that's going to have to stop. We can't afford to do that no more. Because right now, family, we got to understand that these white supremacists are targeting our children now, and the targeting is going to get much, much worse. They're targeting our children, and when people start to target your children and you allow them to target your children and you don't do anything about it, well, you're on the road of extinction. You're on the road to extinction. Because your offspring, they are supposed to replenish your population. If they're taking out your offspring, and if you cannot protect your offspring, what the hell are you existing for anyway? If you cannot protect your offspring, you don't deserve to live. I've said this before. We got to get serious about protecting our offspring. I keep seeing every other day race soldiers beating up some little black kid. It's always some little 9 or 10 year old black kid getting chased by the cops, getting handcuffed, something crazy happening to him. And you don't see them doing none of this to these white kids who shoot up schools on a regular basis. They never do that to them. And now what they're going to do in response to these school shootings, because there was a college shooting, another white guy shot up a college a couple of days ago. Was it yesterday? It might have been yesterday. So many. So this guy shot up a school yesterday or the day before. And down in Florida, what they're going to do, they're going to allow, or they're trying to push this bill. Most of the bill has passed from what I understand. But they got this bill where they're going to allow teachers in schools to carry guns. They're going to allow teachers in schools to carry guns down in Florida. People, do you know how dangerous this is? Family, do y'all understand how much of a bad idea this is? Well, bad idea for us. Do y'all know how bad this is? Do you understand who's going to be targeted with them carrying guns? Teachers having guns in schools? And they're using school shootings as the justification for it. Now, the white supremacists, their own code. Family, I want you to put your thinking caps on. Those guns are not going to be used for these white school shooters. All these white school shooters who shoot schools up on a regular basis, those guns are not going to be used for them. They're going to be killing black kids with that. They're going to use that to shoot black kids for coming in late, black kids for coming in with a backpack. They're going to use that to justify killing black kids for any random arbitrary reason. If they act up in school, they're going to use that to justify shooting them in the classrooms. They're going to be taking out black kids wholesale in Florida. I'm telling you this right now. Remember the date of this. If y'all allow it, they're going to be taking out black kids in schools. These white teachers and these Cubans, these white Cubans and white Hispanics out there in Florida, they're going to be shooting black children in class left and right, family. Do you think they're going to shoot white kids? Let me ask y'all a question. When was the last time a white kid school shooter was shot by the police? Think. Let's put your thinking caps on. Name the last time any of these white school shooter kids were shot by police. Think about it. I can't find one case of a white kid shot by police. Whenever they get shot, they shoot themselves. They don't get shot and killed by police. Somebody might get wounded. They might get a shot in the leg to put them down. I've never seen a case of a white kid get shot and killed for shooting up a school. They always, always, always bring them in alive. I've never seen a white kid shot by police for shooting up a school. Never. And they ain't gonna start doing it. Don't let them fool you with this gun thing that they're gonna have in school. They are not going to shoot these white kids. They're never going to shoot them. They don't shoot white kids in America. That's why you never hear about white kids getting shot by police. You never hear that. And if you do, the person goes to jail. Some black cops shot at a white man who happened to have his black kid in the back, and they shot the kid by accident. They send them brothers to jail for 40 years. These were cops. And speaking of cops, by the way, that Officer Knorr out there in Minnesota, they convicted him up there in Minnesota, and from what I understand, that's the first time a police officer, quote unquote, has been convicted of murder up there, and he just happens to be black. And all you Sambo black cops who's out there towing the line for the white supremacists, running around trying to protect the blue wall, how does the blue wall look and reflect on your black ass? How you feeling now, all you Blue Lives Matter Negroes who work in law enforcement? And I know people who work in law enforcement who are not on the coon train. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about these Negroes who think that the badge somehow negates their blackness. So how's that feel now? Your black brethren got thrown right under the bus. The white supremacist unions, all of them, none of them are helping you. None of them are helping Knorr. None of them are helping or speaking out for him. None of that all cops lives matter and all the blue lives. No, they ain't saying that no more. Because we know that blue lives matter means white supremacy matters. So y'all dumbass Negroes out here trying to uphold that blue wall thing, I hope y'all feel stupid right now. Understand, black people, there's no sanctuary in the system of white supremacy. There's no sanctuary. You can't run and you can't hide and put on a uniform and think that that's going to protect you from white supremacy. Your uniform is your melanin, and your melanin marks you for enemy territory. That means you're an enemy of the state. No matter what clothes you put on, if you wear a bonnet or not, all that, let's not wear a bonnet to school, that don't make a difference. That's why I don't like focusing on that. That's why I don't like focusing on all that clothing and what you wear and what you don't wear and all those respectability politics. It doesn't matter. In a system of white supremacy, your melanin makes you a target. So again, they're going to start targeting our children. So we have to be ready for that. And we have to be willing to protect our children by any means necessary and avenge our children. See, black folks, we got this thing. We'll let our kids get harmed and, you know, we're going to get a little check. So we'll let it slide because we get a little check. See, that's that plantation mentality. You're going to let them sell your kids and they'll give you an extra butter biscuit to make you feel better. We got to get off that, family. Like I said, during slavery, when the first black kid was sold, there should have been a revolt right then and there. The fact that they allowed that to happen help maintain a system that lasted way too long. This system has lasted way too long, and we've allowed it to last. We got to replace this system with a system of justice. I saw a video yesterday of a shooting in Torrance. Some race soldiers shot this brother in Torrance, California, and the police, they are withholding the names of the race soldiers so they don't be targeted, and that's another thing. They let these roaming death squads run around and kill people with impunity, and then they hide them. That's another thing we got to look at. And whoever's hiding them, you are complicit and you're responsible. These police unions and these police agencies, you're hiding these race soldiers. You're responsible for them. But they shot this brother, and it was just so cold-blooded the way they did it. The brother was surrendering. They were like, put your hands up. He had his hands up. Then they said, get out the car, and then they shot him. Then they made up some story about the car being stolen and there was a gun somewhere. All of that, it don't matter. They just use I'm white and I say so, but they just shot this brother in cold blood. They'll give these mixed signals. Get out the car, put your hands up, and if you do either one, they'll shoot you. So we got to understand what we're dealing with, family. We got to take this threat way more seriously. And the brother was nervous, and the brother, he didn't do anything. The brother just, you know, he had his hands up, and they just shot him anyway. See, we have roaming death squads out here, family. This is where we are. You know, that was heartbreaking, but understand, this is warfare. This is how warfare works. See, we don't want to accept the fact that we're in a war. Black folks, you better understand that you're in a war, and you better understand these 10 Black commandments. And I posted these 10 Black commandments on my social media. I've been posting these for a few years, and I want to go over them with you so that you can remember. As Black people, this is something that we all must understand. As Black people, we need to burn this into our psyche. We need to burn this into our consciousness. We need to understand this is what's happening, and this is where we need to operate from. Now, some of y'all follow me on social media. You've seen me post these before. They're posted under 10 things every Black person in America must understand. That's what it's posted under. So, number one, the first thing we got to understand, family, is that the white supremacists, they've officially waged a holy war against you. The Rahoa. They've waged the Rahoa against us, the racial holy war. Okay? So them killing us, it has a spiritual significance to a certain degree. That goes all the way back to the Christians and the Moors. But white supremacy is a religion. So this is how they're justifying wiping us out. This is a war. And it's a racial holy war. This is why they don't do anything about it. If they wanted to stop all of these killings of Black people, do you know they would have stopped it already? They're not stopping it, family, because they don't want to stop. They simply don't want to stop. And it's going to go on until we stop it, until the victims stop it. We have to stop it. See, we're looking for a white mommy and white daddy. We're looking for a savior. And that brings us to number two, the second commandment, the second thing that every Black person in America must understand. There are no official agencies willing to protect your constitutional rights against white supremacists. Nobody's going to help us. Nobody is going to help us. We keep marching, protesting. Who are we protesting to? Black family? Who are we protesting to? Who are we marching to? Who are we marching to and protesting to? The politicians, we're not marching to them. I mean, these are the ones who put the laws in place to harm us. Law enforcement, who are we marching to? These are the people who sit around in private coming up with ways to justify killing you. and getting off. The elected officials? I mean, who are we marching to? Who are we protesting to? Who do we want to see? The general white public? They're fine with it. There's no outrage. They're the ones who elect these people and fund them. So who are we protesting to? There's nobody to protest to. I want y'all to imagine this. Imagine in Nazi Germany, and I always put things in the context of Nazi Germany, the victims of white supremacy who were in Nazi Germany. Do you think protesting would have helped get the Nazis off them? There was a Nazi regime, and what if they started protesting? Who would they protest to? You have a Nazi regime in charge of everything, so there's nobody to protest to. All right? So let's go to number three. The third black commandment, we got to understand that being sensitive or emotional about the reality of these white supremacists, that's not going to help us. We have to be strategic at this point, family. That's very important. At this point, we have to take emotions out of it and we have to think very strategically. Everything we do has to be strategic. We got this thing where we get around the white supremacists and we've been harmed and we crying. Oh, we're crying our asses off. We want to see, show people how hurt we are. We're just crying and bawling, crying and getting emotional. And that's not it. That's done. Nobody cares about our tears. They drink our tears. They drink our tears. It's a joke to them to see us crying all the time after we've been harmed, after our children have been harmed. We got to stop all that crying. The crying is done, because see, we're out there crying, want somebody to feel sorry for us, and these people, they simply don't. Now they'll go out there and pretend. They'll go out there and talk about how bad guns are. You know, there's a couple of fake white liberals who will go out there and hug on you and talk about, yeah, we need justice reform. Yeah, you know, all that fake ass talk, providing a bunch of nothing burgers. So let's stop the crying. You're in a war. So when you go out of your house, you need to expect somebody to harm you. Family, we're at that point right now. Family, as a black person, when you leave your house, you might not come home. You just have to understand that. When I leave my house, when I go do everyday normal stuff, I expect, hey, man, I could get hit. These white supremacists can pull up on me at any given time and assassinate me and execute me, do a racial execution. I'm going to the grocery store. I'm going to the mall. So always expect that. Always expect that possibility when you leave the house. Always expect that possibility. Nearly full of state. You better expect that. You better understand the system we're in. This is why a lot of times when black folks get caught, they get pulled over, you get all confused and angry and yelling, why you got me? What is this about? I didn't do that. Hell no. What I got to get out the car for? See, we start doing all that. And that's what they want you to do. They want you to be confused. They want you to be emotional so they can justify harming you. Because remember, this system is a very contradictory, hypocritical system. And when you live in a system that's contradictory and hypocritical and it's unfair, it's natural. It's a human natural instinct to fight against unfairness, to be upset about being treated unfairly. It's a natural instinct for that. Wait, I didn't do what you just said I did. Why are you doing that? Don't get on that. They're doing it because you're black. They're doing it because they have designated you have been born the wrong color. That's why they're doing it. And understand, you are at a disadvantage when these race soldiers run up on you. So you got to be very strategic about how you operate. Just understand that. You dig? See, I'm not talking about fear either. See, that's the thing. We need to get fear out the mix. This brings us to number four. Number four, you have a constitutional and a God-given right to protect yourselves by any means from white supremacist terrorists. Now, the Constitution, they apply it when they want to. They ignore it when they want to. But the Constitution says that you can protect yourself. But let's put the Constitution aside. You have a God-given right to protect yourself. You have a God-given right to protect yourself from white supremacist terrorism. You are not under any law. Well, the white supremacist law. But you can protect yourself. You're not under any law that you have to allow these people to do this to you. You have a God-given right to protect yourself by any means from white supremacist terrorists. Now let's go to number five. Number five, do not let the media, politicians, fool you with deflective terms like left wing, right wing, fascism, etc. That's another thing. Black folks, leave all those terms alone. Black folks, don't let them get you to focus on nothing burgers like Democrats, Republicans, the Green New Deal, the Lift All Act, gender issues. That has been our problem. We've let these white supremacists detract us from what we need to focus on. We got one problem. One simple issue we have as black people, that is white supremacy. Black folks have been trying to run from this for the damn longest, and we keep running right back into it. We only have one problem, white supremacy. That is the only problem we have. All these other little problems are subcategories of white supremacy. See, we've been trying to deal with the leaves and the branches instead of dealing with the root of the problem. Every issue we have can be traced back to systematic white supremacy. When black folks start talking this dumbass, man, we need to do better. What about black on black crime? That's deflective talk. That is deflective talk. That's why with these politicians, if they are not talking about reparations, if reparations isn't the first thing out of their mouths, everything else they have to say to us is blah, blah, blah. We ignore them. We just walk out the room. We're at a critical point right now. If they're not giving us tangible resources in the form of reparations, there's nothing we need to even sit around listening to them for. These people are on a genocidal campaign. The only thing they can do to help us with that is provide resources, meaning money, so that we can get all of our economic and political business in order to protect ourselves. That's what they can do. I'm talking about those in the dominant society. If they're not doing that, they're just hindering the process of us getting justice. They're helping to maintain the system. So when they start coming to us with all of these jive-ass cockamamie Green New Deals and Medicare and all this stuff, these people are waging genocide on us. We don't need no damn medical aid and all. We're getting slaughtered out here. We're at a critical point right now. Let's go to number six. Number six. Understand that the white supremacists are on an ethnic cleansing campaign. They have set up a system to kill you with impunity. That's very important to understand. There is no other system except white supremacy. The whole system is designed to kill you with impunity. So don't be confused by that. They'll throw all of these crazy cockamamie laws that they don't punish white people with, but they punish you with. This, I was talking earlier about Offset getting charged with a felony for knocking somebody's phone down. There is no way that we can help ourselves in that type of system. by maintaining that system. We cannot maintain that system. We have to start thinking outside of that system, because that system is just inherently unfair. You do not have a fair shake trying to participate in an unfair system. That's suicide. You simply cannot compete in that. Black folks get charged with some of the most crazy charges. There was a sister who was charged. Her boyfriend got killed because they said that he was part of some kind of robbery sting. The police undercover cop killed the boyfriend, and then the girlfriend, she got charged for being an accessory to the murder, and they charged her with the murder. Yeah, these felony murder charges. They got these charges now where if you with somebody and the police killed them, they'll charge you with the murder that the police did. They got these crazy laws all over the place. These are basically I'm white and I say so laws. These are just I'm white and I say so laws. That you can't compete with that. We're running ourselves in circles trying to get reform from this law and reform from that law. These are laws that they make up on a daily basis, and it's based on race. They'll just make them up, and they don't have to make sense. These are just I'm white and I say so laws. But they don't do that to white people. White people go shoot up mosques, synagogues, churches. They don't do all that with them. They're always the lone wolf. So we got to understand that the system has been set up to kill us with impunity. And then that goes back to number 7. Let's go to number 7, and that's a reiteration of what I spoke of earlier. You are not under no obligation to allow white supremacist terrorists to murder you. You got to defend yourself at all costs. Even if imminent death is right there in front of you, defend yourself from white supremacists. The name of the game, if you're going to die, you take as many terrorists out as possible. If you are going to die at the hands of white supremacists, you got to take out as many terrorists as possible with you. That's how you got to think. But we're not under no obligation to just sit up here and let these people murder us with impunity and nothing happens to them, especially if they do stuff to your kid and nothing happens to them and you just going to keep your mouth shut and get a check. See, that's the problem. We got a lot of black folks out here. We got a lot of black folks out here who are allowing their children to get harmed and their family members to get harmed. And not only are black folks not doing anything about it, black folks are out here forgiving the white supremacists for doing it. They're out here forgiving the people for doing it. That's insanity. That's suicide. That is suicide. We can't have that suicidal mentality going on. Let's go to number 8. Number 8, don't let any non-black groups pacify you with marches, church visits, prayers, and sympathy. If they are not willing to punish white supremacist terrorists for harming you, they're just wasting your time. Those in the dominant society, again, they give lip service, but unless they're going to punish somebody for harming you, and notice they never talk about punishing anybody. Every time black folks are harmed by white supremacists, those in the dominant society come around with the fake liberalism, and they never talk about punishing the person who harmed you. They always talk about things, well, we need to fight for justice. We need to march. We need to pray. We need to forgive. We need to look at the laws. We need to do something about guns. We need to do something about psychopathic drugs. It's always some arbitrary non-issue that they try to get you to deflect into. But it's never like, hey, let me help you go get Zimmerman. I'll go get him for you. It's none of that. Now, if a black person does something wrong, you don't get all that. All the laws, man, we got to do something about it. Oh, man, we got to do something about the drugs. Oh, we got to do something about the guns. No, they'll go see that black person. They'll go find that black person. They'll find a way to punish that black person. See, the thing, they got two law books out here. They got two rules of law. See, when these white supremacists are murdering black people and these prosecutors and all these folks are dropping the cases or not filing charges or throwing the cases out, when these white prosecutors are doing this all over the place, nobody bats an eye. What do they tell us? Well, that's the law. Well, we couldn't find a reason to charge him. Well, you know, the law is the law. We can only do so much. You know, we got to respect the law. You know, we might not like the law, but we have to respect it. It's the only system that we have. We got to respect the law. We can't punish the race soldier for shooting your child. He did it on camera and he lied about it, but we can't charge him because, you know, the law is the law. They tell you that. Now, when Kim Fox up there in Chicago, she dropped those charges against Jussie Smollett. All of a sudden, boy, they done found some new laws and rules to punish her. They done subpoenaed her. So all of a sudden, they know how to punish prosecutors now. So now they're going after her. Notice the only prosecutors who they target are black ones. When Marilyn Mosley, when she put those cops on trial, they started coming up with stuff to go after her. So all of a sudden, they know how to go after prosecutors now. All of a sudden, we're not supposed to respect the law. No. We're not going to respect the law. We're going to go after that prosecutor. We're going to subpoena you. So now you know how to subpoena people. So now you know how to go after, you know how to go after prosecutors. And she should have dropped that case against Jussie because it's a bogus case. There was a victimless crime. There was no damn victims. Nobody got hurt. That was a victimless crime. So now they do know how to prosecute prosecutors. Understand, we can't compete in that, black people. We can't try to compete within the confines of a completely unjust racialized system. It's impossible. You're going to drive yourself crazy trying to do that. That brings us to number nine. Number nine, there is no moral high road needed to defend yourselves from terrorism. Cheating is allowed when it comes to your survival. See, black folks, we're told that we got to take the moral high ground all the time. We're always told that we got to do the moral thing. What the hell is that? We're always told we got to support issues that harm us, but they're morally right. We got to support LGBT and immigrant issues because it's morally right. You know what? We have a moral obligation to ensure the survival of black people. That's our one and only moral obligation. I want y'all to understand that. We got one moral obligation. That is to ensure the survival of black people. This whole sacrificial slave garbage where we're supposed to let the white supremacists and every other group walk on top of us because we're going to reach some kind of moral high road. That's a crock of BS that they've been running on us. Our moral duty is to look out and make sure that other black people survive. And we do that by any means necessary because other groups do it by any means necessary. Other groups do it by any means necessary. And cheating is allowed. If you have to cheat, sneak, or do whatever you have to do to ensure that black people are going to survive, don't let them run that game on you. None of these people have morals. They will lie, kill, steal, cheat, ambush, do whatever it takes for them to survive and tell you you ain't supposed to think like that. The hell we're not. we're going to have to start being on a survival kick right now. We don't have a choice. Cowardly letting these people take us out, that's not the business. And number 10, family, last but not least, we got to understand, you are in a war, not a protest. Don't show up to the battlefield with just a damn iPhone. See, we got this clout chasing culture where these people are waging a damn war on you. I keep seeing this over and over again. These people are waging war on us, and we standing around with damn iPhones. I'm a film you and put it online, and they don't give a damn. Notice they don't care about you being about them being filmed no more. They could give less than a damn because they're looking at it like, okay, who are you going to show it to? Okay, yeah, I'm a white supremacist and you're filming me. Who are you going to show that to? The people in authority are other white supremacists like me. They're not going to do anything. I'll get fired or transferred, but I'm going to be good. You dig? You are in a war, not a protest. You better act like it. Y'all showing up with picket signs and iPhones, and these white supremacists are showing up with bulletproof vests, guns, knives, everything. You better walk out of your house understanding that you are in a war. Every single day, and your children are a part of that war. And you better be ready to defend your children, at least have the dignity to defend your children with your life. Well, Tariq, man, let me do some Sambo talk. Man, that kind of talk will get folks killed. You already getting killed, fool. I hear Negroes talking that talk. These folks are just, there's roaming death squads running around here. Negroes talking about, man, talking about standing up for them, that's going to get you killed. They're killing you already. The white supremacists, they've been trying to get to this point for a long time. Nothing has changed about them. What has changed is us. They've always tried to harm us and come up with ways to justify harming us in large numbers. And they always start with kids. But they did it with Emmett Till. See, when they got Emmett Till in 1955, I think that was 55 when they got him, and killed that child, black society said, hell no. No, we're not going to be doing this. And black society started stepping to the white supremacists. See, they don't tell you about the black folks that was putting in some real work back during the Jim Crow era. They don't tell you about that. They just tell you about Negroes in Selma getting beat up. No. In the 50s and 60s, there's some black folks who weren't playing that BS. So they made the white supremacists stop attacking them. And go back to the 90s. They started trying to do the same thing out here in L.A. when they shot Latasha Harlins. They shot the little black girl in the liquor store. The Korean lady shot the black girl in the back of the head. You know, they started to let their non-white, honorary white supremacists try to do the dirty work for them. So the Korean lady shot the child in the head, and well, the brothers in the neighborhood got that story about the pain immediately. And then she got acquitted, and then they had to bounce and leave town. And then after that, the city burned up. It was a riot after that because people were going to only take so much. Then we had the riot in 92, the uprising in 92, when black folks started yanking white people out of their cars and Asians out of their cars and killing them. That's what they don't like to tell you about the riots in 92. They like to show you the buildings being burned up, and they start talking all that. Well, black folks are burning down their own communities. They like to say that publicly to make themselves feel better. Black folks were burning down buildings that were not owned by them, and they were killing whites and Asians. They don't like to tell you that. A lot of white people and Asian people got killed. They don't like admitting that. Black folks were not playing that. So every 20-something years, they test the waters to see if the time is right. And they tested Black society, 2013, 2012, 2013, with the Trayvon Martin case. The honorary white supremacist George Zimmerman killed Trayvon, and we reacted too weakly for that. When Trayvon Martin was allowed to be killed and nothing really happened, there was a lot of protest and hemming and hawing, but nothing really happened. And I said that back then. Black people allowing that to happen, that was the death knell right there. Right then and there, the white supremacists, they tasted blood. They saw that we were weak. And the green light was on. And after Trayvon Martin, it was a floodgate of killings, because they saw that we have been neutralized. They saw this is the generation we've been trying to get to, the soft generation who ain't going to do nothing after we murder them and their families. We got them right where we want them. We've softened them up. We've moistened them up. We told them not to be toxic. That's where all of that ties in. We taught them to be submissive. We've neutralized the warrior class. We got them out here with skinny jeans and iPhones. We got them where we wanted them. They've done nothing to Zimmerman. This is where we wanted them. And right there gave them the green light. They were waiting around to see what was going to happen. And they saw nothing. And I remember when George Zimmerman was acquitted, I remember it like it was yesterday. The very next day, instead of black folks talking about what to do about that race soldier and other race soldiers, black folks start talking about the Kendrick Lamar verse. I remember that like it was yesterday. They start talking about Kendrick Lamar's King of New York record. That started trending. I said, what the hell are y'all focusing on that for? Right after the Zimmerman thing happened, I remember like it was yesterday, black folks started focusing on Kendrick Lamar's record, Is He Dissing New York? I said, oh my God, that's what y'all focusing on? We're doomed. We are doomed. That is a problem. And this is where we are right now, family. They've neutralized the warrior class. They see that you're scared. They see that your value system is that of nigger trinkets. See, we value nigger trinkets. So as long as we have nigger trinkets, what we value, that's all we're good. We don't want to risk our lives over anything because we don't value anything except nigger trinkets. And we already got that. So we're going to have to value survival. We're going to have to value freedom. And again, we're not under no obligation to allow race soldiers to take our family out, especially your children. You understand? So all that scared talk, that ain't going to work. You can be scared all you want to. They're going to still take you out. These people are on a major genocide campaign right now, and it's going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. So we got to start thinking in terms of what we can do, because we all we got. And sitting around just cowardly letting these folks take us out with impunity, that's just not going to work. It is freedom or death. Y'all need to check out this documentary style movie that was done in the 60s called Battle of Algiers. I heard our brother Judge Joe Brown talking about that movie, and I checked it out. Very, very good. I've known about the Battle of Algiers, where people of Algeria, they were battling the French colonizers. Study that movie. This is how an oppressed people gain freedom from a powerful colonizer, a powerful empire. The Battle of Algiers. Look at that movie. It's they got English subtitles. It's a movie that was done in 1966. Look at that movie based on real events. Watch that today. You can see it on YouTube. The Battle of Algiers. It was done in 1966. It showed you how the people overcame the oppressors. And then study the movie 1804. It's the movie that I did. Most of you have seen it already. If you have not seen it, go to 1804movie.com. And speaking of 1804, let's close out today's program with the Bookman's Prayer. See, I get up and say the Bookman's Prayer every morning. And this is what I need y'all to do. Because we got to get into this mindset. Duddy Bookman was one of the people who helped initiate the Haitian Revolution. And his prayer is legendary. The Bookman's Prayer. I might even get some shirts made with the Bookman's Prayer. The Bookman's Prayer says, "The God who created the earth, who created the sun that gives us light, the God who holds up the ocean, who makes the thunder roar, our God who has ears to hear, you who are hidden in the clouds, who watch us from where you are, you see all that the white has made us suffer. The white man's God asks him to commit crimes, but the God within us wants us to do good. Our God, who is so good, so just, he orders us to revenge our wrongs. It's he who will direct our arms and bring us the victory. It is he who will assist us. We all should throw away the image of the white man's God, who is so pitiless. Listen to the voice for liberty that speaks in all our hearts." That's the Bookman's Prayer. Y'all should say that every damn morning. I'm going to start closing out almost all the shows with the Bookman's Prayer. Mop Boule, Sakpase Mop Boule. They were calling on the spirits of Ogun. Right there. That prayer right there led to justice. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. I'm going to holler at you guys this Sunday on the Sunday stream. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com, 1804movie.com, TariqElite.com. I'm going to holler.